Warning, this podcast contains words that are going to come out of my mouth that you don't want to hear your children use in front of their teacher. This is HR Talk. I am the face of the franchise. I have with me today, JC and Ricky. Folks, I feel like I've been lied to. You know, I signed on to do these intros and, you know, show up every now and then on the show, and I'm just going to make some money, which is a bunch of bullshit. JC, don't cut my music. JC said that he could get X amount of dollars a read in Buffalo. There's six people in Buffalo. He's making money off reads. I can't get eight freaking dollars, and I've been doing this crap all day.
Face of the franchise.
Is that too long?
No, yeah, it was a little bit too long, but it's fine. Welcome back. Thank you for doing it. Thank you for doing those intros and finally coming back into agreeance. We still don't have a formal contract on the table negotiated with him, though, Rick, do we?
Huh. Poor guy.
Volunteer.
He'll be okay. He'll be okay. I'm glad he's coming around, though.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 13th best-sounding podcast in the world. HR Talk.
13th. Weren't we third a week ago?
Yeah, well, I think that stat may have been a little overinflated. And we're only talking about the world, not the universe. So, take a look at the analysis and the breakdown of all those fantastic podcasts that they talk about on those podcast awards, or like you hit the Google and you're like, ooh, let me find myself a new HR podcast. And then you start listening to all this boring crap, just like you hear 9 to 5. And then you tune in, you hear this, you know that you're definitely listening to the 13th best podcast in the world. That's what I'm saying. 13th best audio, that is.
Yeah, we need to get t-shirts that say the 13 best podcasts in the world. And just whenever we do
best sounding,
on the road events.
Best sounding. Our content is beside the point.
Oh, okay.
Best fine. Sounding. Well, you know what I'm talking about. If anyone out there does listen to this show, which I think there's three of you, take the opportunity when you're on the Spotify or whatever else, type in HR podcast. You're going to see a few other ones. They're all good. Don't get me wrong. And a lot of them are pay-for services, you know, put together by companies, and they might be holding to certain topics that they have to do, and that's fine. They are what they are. But a lot of times, you're not going to get audio as good as what you get right here. That's all I'm saying. That is all I'm saying. 13 best-sounding podcasts in the world right there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC Cross the Bow down in sunny Central Florida, back from the Southern Hemisphere. Let us please welcome the guy with too many post-nominals for me to even name, Ricky Baez. How you doing?
Hello, sir, Mr. JC.
Say, I got a question for you. I'm happy that you're glad you're back. I want to get right into it. So you went away. You were on a cruise, and you were doing some fun things. Did you earn another post-nominal credit for an HR credential while you were out there? Because it kind of seems that in the HR world, that's what happens. Like, you go away for a weekend, you come back, you got new post-nominal for something, right?
I wish that was the case.
Are you cruise ship certified now, right?
Did you get certified?
A cruise ship certification, right? Do you have that under your belt now?
That would be great. As a matter of fact, right after I order my 13 best sounding podcast t-shirt for us to wear when we go on the road, I'm going to get business cards that has a cruiser certification, something on there, and I'll get some kind of a plaque and I'll give it to myself. I'll go to my own graduation. That'll be great.
That's how it goes, yeah, though, right? And then what? Maybe set up a fee, you know, a fee-based thing. So every 2 years, you pay yourself like $600 for that credential.
For going something on cruises? Absolutely. Yeah, all you have to do is go to one cruise a month. That'd be great. That really would be. You know, we could really do that, JC. We could set something up, charge about $200 every certification, and for people to just keep their certification on cruising. And just the other thing you have to do is just go to different ports once a month. And just give us a report on it. I mean, you're a certified cruiser.
Hey, I'm not a big proponent of promoting other podcasts too much or playing too much of their stuff. We've done that, though. We've played some clips from other shows. But speaking about podcast certifications and good sound, anyone that doesn't already, and this is just a side, John, but if you do like the media and the dissection of the media and things that are out there, check out the No Agenda podcast, noagendashow.com. They're a different product than us all together. Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. John Dvorak, he was in that public broadcasting realm for a bit. I'm not going to go down the path too far, but anyways, long story short, great product. Check him out. And if there's ever going to be a podcasting certification, it's going to come from that podfather, Adam Curry, right there. That's all I'm saying. The guy knows his stuff. If you want to learn anything, if you don't know what you're doing, go check that show out, and you'll learn a little bit about putting good audio together. That's the end of my soapbox on that one.
Did you just call him the Podfather?
Yeah, well, that's his actual name, believe it or not.
Really?
Well, it's kind of a moniker for him. He is kind of like the guy that helped invent podcasting, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah, really, really. Like, all the way down to the technology behind it. Yeah, I'm telling you, the show is not about him, so definitely Google him, check it out, check out his show, go talk to him independently. Highly recommend it, though, okay?
The 14th best-sounding
podcast. No. They're more like number one, two, or three. In my opinion, they're number one, but they're probably two or three to some other people because there's, you know, you're a Joe Rogan guy. You're really on to that podcast lately, aren't you?
I am. Yeah, he has his podcasts are crazy long. They're like 2-3 hours, and it's I got to listen to it in chunks. On my way to and from the office.
Well, it makes sense. It makes sense. Yeah, it is a long show, but when you find the show you dig, and then you stick with it through the course of the week, you know you could always turn back to HR Talk one time a week, and we're going to give you a solid anywhere from 45 minutes to 1 hour 20 minutes worth of analysis and discussion in human resources, and then the easy, casual banter like you're getting right now for the start of the show. Hey, before we go too far, we're already 7 minutes in. I want to toss it over to you. Talk to me. What's going on in your world? What's new? What's shaking, man, in the world of Postnominal Ricky?
That's my new moniker. Not much. Actually, quite a bit happening in the HR space. Not much in my life. Just get back to the States, getting acclimated to Orlando again. But I got back to a lot of news stories, JC. I don't know if you've got to see them. And I think
news. Got it.
Stories. One of them has to do about a stripper. So I guess we'll get to them when we get to that. On this show, we talk a lot about what employers should or should not do. At work with their employees, whatever they need to do to stay out of legal trouble and to make sure they're doing the right things where they're following the law. And every now and then a story comes along that I'm like, it just baffles me of what employers do that gets them in trouble. And it's so easy not to do these things and then just stay out of legal trouble. But yet these stories come along. And JC, I don't know if you read it. It's actually here in Orlando. It's a restaurant, an Italian restaurant called Cristini's Ristorante Italiano.
Yeah, 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 yeah. They had to there was like a retaliation lawsuit, a sexual harassment type thing, something like that. That did hit the major. I saw that on the Twitter over the past
week. I saw it on the LinkedIn. Our good friend David Miklas, attorney at law, he's the one who put it out there, I saw it.
Did he pay you to say this?
No, okay, but good. He's a good friend of ours.
Let's just be clear with that. That's all,
So
no one pays us to say these things. All right. Put the thing out there and tell us a little bit about the backstory on this one, if you could.
So apparently, this is a story where a restaurant owner was telling, I guess, their host or hostess to dress sexier and tell the customers or the guests that she is single, and even encourage them to encourage the host to date some guests and convince them that she is single when she really wasn't, and to dress sexier to get more clientele.
Here's a question. Was this outside a Marine Corps base? Just curious.
No, it's not outside of a Marine Corps base. It's actually in Orlando, Florida, at a place called Restaurant Row. Right. For those of you from Orlando, Restaurant Row, or it's over in by the Dr. Phillips area, and there's a lot of restaurants there, a lot of high-end restaurants. But anyway, so obviously this employee felt really uncomfortable with what she was being asked to do. And as soon as she complained, guess what happened, JC?
She got fired.
Absolutely. She got fired as soon as she complained. And guess what she did?
She sued them.
She got fired. Before you get to sue somebody for
something
like that,
she filed a complaint. She filed a formal complaint for everything that happened, right?
Correct. Yes. So she filed a complaint with the EEOC, with the Equal Employment Opportunities Commission, and then they went through their process, and apparently they found that the restaurant was at fault, and now they have to pay $80,000 to settle that suit, to settle that claim. And above and beyond that, they have to go through sexual harassment training. They have to set up a call center. So people can call in and file complaints anonymously and give employees that venue of a dispute resolution process.
All right, so hang on. Question for you. So the employers, something transpires between employer and employee. Employee is fired. Employee files with the EEOC. I'm sure that there's some sort of lengthy investigation, maybe even trial at the end of the day. You've got that judgment that comes out. They have to pay that penalty, that $80,000. There's maybe things that they have to do for that employee. End of the day, though, when you're talking about these after-action things, things that they have to move forward with, training employees, et cetera, how do you follow up on that? That's going to be coming directly from the EEOC as they follow up on that to make sure that that work environment's changed, right? This isn't like you pay your fee, you're one and done, oh, we made a mistake. You're going to be, you're in the shoot for a long time after.
No, absolutely. I'm pretty sure they assign an investigator to this case, and whatever they agreed to that they had to go through, the EEOC has to approve. So if there has to be any kind of training for sexual harassment training for the restaurant, the owners and the managers, then that organization that trains them has to be approved by the EEOC.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. I found the press release. Okay, there it is. And I quote, this is straight from the EEOC website, press release 2/21/2019, titled Christini's Ristorante Italiano to pay $80,000 to settle EEOC sexual harassment retaliation lawsuit. But further down in that article, 1, 2, 3, fourth paragraph down, the restaurant must, I quote, by the way, the restaurant must post a notice referencing this lawsuit and consent decree advising employees of their rights. To ensure that Christini's complies with its obligations, it must submit to a confidential, anonymous workplace climate survey to be provided to the EEOC. Additionally, Christini's will provide a positive written job reference for the bartender as well. Wow. Consistent with the commission's longtime commitment to eradicating sexual discrimination in the workplace, the EEOC will continue to file lawsuits to remedy sexual harassment and ensure that employees are not retaliated against.
Wait. Yeah. Go back.
Yeah.
Go back to the positive work reference.
That really rung true there. So rewinding a little bit, it must submit a confidential anonymous workplace climate survey to be provided to the EEOC. Additionally, Christini's will provide a positive written job reference for the bartender.
A written job reference. So think about that for a second, all right? So, yes, what happened – oh, so it's a bartender, not a hostess, sorry. So – let's say so let's agree what happened to the bartender was horrible, right? So we all agree there, and no bartender should go through that. But let's say she was a shitty bartender, right? Let's say she sucked at her job, right? They still have to write a positive work reference for her.
There's got to be something on the background of that, though, right? There has to be a little bit more than that. I mean, wow.
Right?
So even if it was a bad employee, would they rule towards the fact that they have to write a positive? But if it was a positive employee and there was never a track record of anything bad that they've done, and maybe there wasn't even documentation. I mean, come on. If the place is telling their employee to dress sexy and date ready and persuade the clientele to come back for double entendres or innuendos or whatever the case may be. Yeah. Do you think that they're really sitting down doing formal annual reviews and quarterly meetings or like a
no,
weekly
they're not
update?
Because they're in the service industry, right? So right. I don't agree with the way the owner was handling this situation, but I mean, it's from what I read, the owner was just trying to get more guests to spend more money. I get it. Wrong way to go about it. But I don't know that positive work reference for some reason is sticking to me because.
But if the employee has nothing bad in their file, if there's no negative recourse on that employee for their job performance over the time being there, then why wouldn't they?
Well, correct, then we have to assume that's the case. We would have to assume that's the case. But I'm just it's not mentioned here about the employee's record, because obviously the story is how badly she was treated and how she was retaliated against. But it's, I don't know, for some reason that got to me and said, you know, saying that I guess that they're assuming that she is a good employee. They're assuming that she has done a good job and there's nothing bad in her employment record. But I guess if, let's say, she assaulted somebody in the past and now this organization is required to write a positive work reference, another organization hires her because of this positive work reference, and then that employee now beats somebody up in the other employer, now we have an issue here, right? Because they wrote a positive work reference.
Do we really? I mean, that it's a totally different scenario at a new employer at that point.
Well, not necessarily. We got to be careful with that. So let's put this whole story on pause for a second, right? So let's say you have an employee, JC, and you and this employee is a door-to-door salesman.
All right.
Right? This employee,
what are we selling, by the way?
Vacuums. I don't know. Vacuum cleaners.
Who the hell's vacuums? Who comes door-to-door at your house?
A lot of people trying to sell me water purifiers.
Okay, so water purification. Okay.
So let's be realistic, apparently. Fine. I don't know.
That's
not the point.
I'm selling water straws. I need to get into the mode of your story here. All right, so my salesman's out there selling water straws. Got it.
All right, so that's in California. And this salesman goes into a potential customer's home and beats him up for whatever reason. Beats him up, right? The customer calls you, really upset, really pissed. A police record is filed. They call the cops. Fine. You fired that employee, right? 2 months later, this employee works somewhere else, right? And that other organization gives you a call for a reference. And you give that new employer, potential employer, a positive written reference. They hire that person, right? That person now beats up a client of theirs. They get fired. That client is now suing that other organization that hired this person due to your gleaming reference.
All right, I got a question.
You don't think you have any responsibility to that?
But that's apples to oranges in a way, right? I mean, was my door-to-door salesman dressing sexy? Were they date ready?
I tell you to put the other story on hold.
No, I know, and I know, but I'm saying,
somebody's
though,
doing that, that's a whole different
that's
thing.
That's a totally different ball game when you're going door to door. This isn't about water straws at that point.
Those are apples to oranges.
Yeah, so in this instance, there's clear sexual harassment and retaliation associated with that. Your door-to-door straw salesman walks in and beats the crap out of somebody and you fire them. That's not retaliation.
No, it's not. That's why I said put the story on hold, because I'm talking about...
Right. But I'm just using that just story aside, that retaliation aspect, because it seems like if you have to do that positive reference by law or by decree or by the courts, that's one thing, because you were a pretty shitty employer, right?
You know? Yeah. No, I know. It's just...
But if you call me for a reference and you're like, hey, I got the face of the franchise here. He's selling straws for my company. He just beat someone up and you gave a positive reference. It is a different ballgame then, right?
It is. No, I know. I was just using that as an example. But you know what just hit me also? Now...
Putting the face of the franchise on the road to sell straws? He's the guy in the cover art, by the way.
Dressing sexy? Yeah,
I never said that.
And if that actually happens, nothing will be sold. So let's say he's an independent contractor. Yeah, well, that's the next story. So for this employee, so here's what's going to happen, right? So now I don't have to put her name over in the story. Hopefully they didn't,
even if they did, let's not go there.
No, but I'm just saying it's if they did. So now she goes to work anywhere else, and they see that she was part of the story. She is going to have a hard time getting a job, right? Because unfortunately, some other organizations, hopefully they're not doing this, but they'll probably see her as a troublemaker. And if you're an organization who does that, it's really shame on you, number one. Number two, that is not the way to conduct the business, right? Because in this case, she was a victim, but I have seen some organizations who they see a quote-unquote victim of some kind of a harassment, hostile environment, and they go to work for another department within the same organization, and they're deemed as the troublemaker, and organizations need to be careful with that.
Yeah, and then they get held back, they get held down, they yep, years absolutely. Go by. Oh, yeah, wow, you're stirring up emotions in me, man.
Uh-oh.
You kind of hit home right. A little bit right there. That's fine, though. It's good, you know?
So... somebody asked you to dress sexy at work, or what happened there?
The pregnant pause.
Silence. Did you say pregnant pause?
The pregnant pause. Yeah, it's a theatrical thing. That's fine. The pregnant pause builds tension. Yeah, no, it's good.
Got it.
So okay. When you're talking about sexual harassment or retaliation in that regard, let's say that this is your premier bartender. This press mm-hmm. release that was put out by EEOC doesn't have any mention of that employee's name, which I think is good.
Good.
Yeah. So maybe there's some news articles that do. I don't know. Not even going to try to look into that right now. Yeah. But at your ristorante, your premier bartender that has been fired for not following along these things and now is being awarded something, and you're in the mix of having to try to remedy, is now a premier bartender at another facility where you're giving that glowing reference. Even though the name may not be released, I'm sure the people that frequent some of these establishments might know right away exactly who it is, right?
Yeah, they know. They know.
It's kind of like taking the face of the franchise of, oh, let's say something bad happens. Let's say you own an NFL team and you tried to, get someone's personal services around the Super Bowl or something. This is just hypothetical, you know? And then later on it comes out that, yeah, you did try to solicit sexual favors as the owner of a football franchise. Around a big game in a state where that is different from where you're located. I mean, in that situation, you're not really going to fire yourself, but it's an outside. What do you do there, Rick?
So obviously, you're talking about the story that came out over the weekend.
What story? What happened?
About Robert Kraft.
Who's that?
And the owner of the New England Patriots.
Holy smokes! What happened?
And how he was mentioned. Actually, I think he was indicted, wasn't he? Wasn't there he was mentioned in the investigation as one of 200 patrons at this massage parlor that apparently solicited sex. Oh. And I think he is he's on the table for that now. He's in a little bit of trouble. So odd transition, but okay.
So my question to you is, as a leader, a manager, a business owner, you're in that executive circle. Something mm-hmm. transpires with the leader of the organization, and you're the number two or number three in command. What do you do in that scenario?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That is a tough one.
And it's hitting the press, too, at the same time.
I mean,
what do you do?
So you're the number two. You gotta have a heart-to-heart with the number one. I'm like, hey, look, this is personal. I get it. But now this is affecting the business. How do you want to handle this?
So wait a second. What you're saying is you would collude.
Not collude.
Okay.
Not collude.
It's a term that's used a lot nowadays. I figured I'd try to see if that fit.
No, I'm not saying that.
All right.
All I'm saying is
normally
is
when they accuse that on the back end, it's never found to have happened. So don't worry about that. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Got it. What I'm saying is that this is something that was personal that happened to him personally, right? But it's affecting the brand. Right, so I'm not saying collude. I'm not saying let's be on the same page to kind of get a cover story. No, he needs to handle that on his own. But the business is now suffering. The brand is being dragged through the mud. So we got to have a heart-to-heart conversation as how he or she wants this handled.
You've got a lot to deal with with this issue that you have. Maybe mm-hmm. we should, if there is a consideration of a momentary leave of absence or whatever, a transition of internal duties, a distancing so that the day-to-day yep. operations could maintain, right?
Absolutely. The best thing to do, in my opinion, I'm no attorney, but it would be to step away, let the number two take over for a little while. That way you separate what's happening outside of the organization from the brand and let the brand continue to make money and keep the brand's reputation.
See, exactly I would lean towards call the lawyer. And well, then do those things, JC. You know, I'm just saying.
But I'm saying that the lawyer would be for the personal problem that owner is having.
Right.
That's right. We don't want to get involved in that. I'm the number two in the business. What's happening with you behind closed doors is none of my business. What I want to do right now is to preserve the positive image of the brand. I don't know if I need a lawyer for that.
So when people are away from the office and something like that transpires, it's kind of a matter of drawing that line, right? Where it might be a blurred line. It's still work. You're out of town. It's the Super Bowl. Something's happening. Even though you're the owner or someone on the team, it happened out in public. It happened off the official work site in a way.
Yeah.
But you still have that fine line when you're coming back to the office that you still got to deal with there, right?
Even more reason to separate the person from the brand.
Yeah.
You don't want to keep mentioning that brand, even especially if it happened when you were doing in the – the brand is mentioned, and I obviously in the past couple of days, there's been a lot of mentions of the New England Patriots. That's the brand, and Robert Kraft and everything else that he owns. But again, he was just indicted. I believe that's what happened. He was named in the investigation, so nothing has come out yet. So let's see what happens.
Now, this is talking about employees. This is talking about leaders, managers. These are talking about people within our organization. What mm-hmm. about people that touch our organization, like a contractor? Are they an employee? Are they not an employee? Where do you draw that line? How do you define? And maybe not well, even. Go ahead.
A contractor is a contractor. An employee is an employee. What do you mean?
Well, LA Times asked this question over the past week as well. This story was put together by Margot Roosevelt. It was published February 23rd, 2019. Definitely stop by the LA Times to check this out. It was titled, "Are You an Employee or Contractor? Carpenters, Strippers, and Dog Walkers Now Face That Question." So where I'm firing from with that is just trying to wrap my head
of examples.
Yeah, just trying to wrap my head around where they're going here with this one. Just talking about that definition of employee in a way. You had a chance to check this article out, right?
I did. That title is hilarious, though. Carpenters, strippers, and dog walkers now face that question. You got carpenters saying, "Don't put me in the same sentence as strippers and dog walkers." You got a dog walker saying, "Don't put me in the same sentence as a stripper." And the stripper's like, "Yeah, whatever."
Love contract. Would that be a love contract situation or no?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Okay.
No. So, yeah, I did see that article. It's interesting that still people today don't know the difference between a contractor and an employee.
Break it down real quick, Rick.
All right. So not to get too technical with it, right? An employee is somebody who you hire and you train, you provide tools, you give them the schedule, you discipline them, you train them. There's a lot more to it than that, but that's just the nitty gritty of it, right?
Do employees get benefits?
They can get benefits.
Do independent contractors get benefits?
No, because independent contractor is different, right? An independent contractor, somebody who comes and you pay them to do a job, you don't have much control over how they do that job. They just want to get that job done. They bring their own equipment. They have their own training. They have their own uniform if they want to wear a uniform. They pay their own taxes. It's they handle everything on their own.
All right, right there then. So I'm listening to the show. I'm not 100% sure. These employees are W-4, W-2. These employees are 1099.
Contractors.
Okay, there it is for those there that might be on the fence, right? Okay.
Correct. 1099s are contractors. W-2 are employees. A great example would be a barbershop. So a barbershop who you rent out a chair to a barber. You rent out the chair, I don't know, $30-$40 a day, and a barber who you contracted comes in, cuts the hair. They come in maybe at this time, leave at that time, and the owner of the barbershop keeps a share of those haircuts, and the barber keeps the other half of that share, however they want to split it. But the owner of the barbershop does not do their payroll, doesn't do their taxes, social security, disability, stuff like that. That is all the responsibility of the contracted barber.
Okay, question for you. Mm-hmm. All the responsibility of that barber, but it's taking place within your shop, underneath your brand, And even though they are an independent contractor pushing in, renting that space, basically, they're still part of your team, or they could also advertise for themselves in a standard scenario?
They can advertise for themselves because, again, they're an independent contractor, right? So the owner of the barbershop cannot do too much to prevent you from doing that because you are your own employee. Now, it gets sticky though, right? Because if you do something that would put the brand, the barbershop, in a negative light, that barbershop owner could just say, get out of here, leave. I'm done with you. I'm going to get somebody else. No disciplinary process, no progressive discipline. Just go ahead and leave. And you're done because they're not an employee.
Question for you.
Cancel the contract.
Let's say the barbershop is very specific in renting out that chair and they only allow barbers to come in there that are dressed a certain way or treat mm-hmm. the clientele a certain way. Is that okay?
Of course that's okay. Of course it is.
If you have an employee come on board and you say, dress sexier,
that's
while you bartend,
right? That's a little bit different.
Let's get them to come back. That's one thing. But let's say hypothetically you're in this restaurant bar type environment. Now your bartenders are 1099 contract bartenders. And you say right from the very beginning that this is Hooters or whatever your restaurant is. And we have a certain dress code or style or whatever that we're going to be doing here. And it's known up front the entire way. Those independent contractors know what they're getting into. They don't abide by that. They're going to be fine.
So two things here. So whether you're an independent contractor or an employee, it doesn't matter. You should not put people in a hostile work environment or create a hostile work environment for them to work in, right? Because you just can't do that. That in itself is against the law. Even if you sexually harass the guy or girl who comes in to fill your vending machines, that is still sexual harassment. That is not defined whether somebody's an employee or a contractor. Now, you said something very interesting. You mentioned Hooters.
Frito-Lay.
So you mentioned Hooters, right?
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to mention them out, but we all know that they have a certain uniform style, and they have been talked about quite a bit in this regard, right? So,
but that's different because what happened to this restaurant here in Orlando, the same scenario may not have the same results as Hooters because Hooters, as you know, women are dressed in a particular way and they have a brand to keep. So if you could tell the ladies who work at Hooters to dress a specific way with the standards in accordance to the brand of the organization. That is called a BFOQ, a bona fide occupational qualification.
All right.
What that means is that you are able to I guess, tell people to dress a certain way. You're able to discriminate sparingly because of sex, whatever the case may be, things that are normally illegal. For the sake of the organization, because the brand of the organization upholds it. I'll give you a great example. And I think
you said this was BFOQ,
Bonafide Occupational Qualification.
Could you say that acronym for me real quick?
BFOQ.
Yeah. How would you say that?
No, I'm not going for that. No, you go for that. I'm not doing it.
As you were.
All right. So one example would be if at Disney World, and I think we've used this before, they have a position for somebody to play Ariel from The Little Mermaid at a parade, and you've got to be a specific height, you got to be a specific sex, you got to look a certain way. If you don't meet that criteria, which is normally protected by law, they can say no to you because you don't meet that criteria, because what Disney needs for that particular job to be performed to the best it possibly can to fulfill that brand, they need those specific attributes that normally would be illegal under the law.
Character development, et cetera. Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. So here, you lay that out in advance. It's part of the business model and process. Our employees are aware when they're coming on board. Independent contractors are even aware when they're coming on board. But when we're talking about independent contractor compared to employee in that gray line where maybe some employers might be confused, and use the barbershop as the example, just like you're saying, maybe it's 9-10 hours a day. Is there overtime? Is there no overtime? Are there breaks? Are there mandated breaks? You're the independent contractor. Are you expected to just hit the gas and keep going no matter what? Or is there still some semblance of a normal work schedule where you can take a break and walk away and get paid?
Not
overtime?
Really.
Like, what
not,
are you doing?
It's an independent contractor creates their own schedule, and they work until the work is done, and they decide when the work is done. It's no different than you hiring a plumber or an electrician to come to your house. They take breaks when they want. They bring their own tools. You don't train them. You just hire them for a specific job. You don't know when that job is done. They do, because you don't know anything about plumbing or electricity, hence why you hire somebody. So that's different than an employee. If they were your employee, you would dictate those things. You would say when they come in, when they go home, when they take breaks and when they take lunches.
All
same
right.
thing.
So years going by.
And no overtime for contractors.
Years going by, and you've got a good gauge of where you are in your finances. You realize you're spending a little bit too much money, and now you're going to offset some expenses, maybe you're going to bring these independent contractors in. You're going to offer them positions as full-time employees. You're going to give them the sick leave, the vacation, other benefits, and then you're going to cut their pay.
How do you cut their pay if they weren't employees to begin with?
In the LA Times article, mentions talking about to offset, and I quote here, to offset mm-hmm. expense on payroll taxes, pay dropped to $15 an hour when they brought them on board. I'm not quoting, I'm paraphrasing. I had to burp there. I'm sorry about that. So they brought them on board. Turned them into employees, paid them $15 an hour with just a 15% share of the haircut price. So that now working 9 hours a day, this employee is taking home about $300 less weekly than when she worked just 3 days a week. But now she has health insurance benefits and all those other things with sick leave that goes along with that. So working more, getting paid less, receiving the benefits, but now an employee. As the organization internalizes and switches things from independent contractor to employee.
So
this plays into their... Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say the employee's the one that's hurt in here. I get it. So she has a decision to make. Does she want to continue to be working there as an employee? Or if she really like working as a contractor where she has more control over her time and her finances, then she should just go somewhere else.
And this is where it gets interesting, because state laws do vary so drastically, right? And in this mm-hmm. instance, I guess there was a California Supreme Court decision that came out last April and started to change the rules on what is an independent contractor and what is an employee, making it harder mm-hmm. for workers to be in that independent contractor bucket. So I do think that this story in particular is kind of playing off of that a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's once you become an employee, now you have a specific law to follow, which minimum wage is one of them. So minimum wage, they come in and you got to pay them that minimum wage, and now you have more control. Whereas the contractor, there's no minimum wage. You just pay them to do a job, and sometimes you get this, sometimes you get you don't get that big payday. It really depends, because again, you're a contractor. And then I think there's a story out there about overtime as well, that once you're an employee and now you have to pay your employees by the hour, and there's a set minimum. If you go over 40 hours in that week, now you have a law that speaks to how much money you pay them above and beyond those 40 hours in that week.
And then,
time and a half in a lot of cases.
And then where are you getting exemptions? Where are you drawing that line between the employee and independent contractor to get the exemptions as a business from the state board to then move forward with keeping things in place? Take like delivery drivers, things of that mm-hmm. nature, right? You've got a lot of independent contractors out there spending money out of their own pocket. What's that? Uber Eats or many of the others, right? Order the food. You know, the person might be an employee, but they might not be an employee. But even if they are an employee, they're paying for the gas and everything out of their own pocket. How's that reimbursement coming to play? It's a huge mess there. Really is.
Yeah, but they're contractors, right? And I know
several lawsuits going on with that. In that employee side, on the employee side, employees who are then spending that money as the employee to get the job done, so to say.
But hold up. Yeah, but Uber, so with the example of Uber and Lyft, those are not employees.
Not good examples.
Yeah, right, because those are contractors, right?
Right?
They set their own schedule. They start when they want and they leave when they want. That's a contractor, right? I know there's several lawsuits when it comes to that, because I think Uber has kind of overreached into how much they control over their job, and now lawsuits were filed. So that's staying to be tested. We'll see what happens. But yeah, man, it's when you have employees. I think the issue comes into place when you have a business where you have both employees and contractors working together. And you need to be careful with that because you have to treat them differently. You've got to treat them differently. Because the employee, if you start treating the contractor the same way that you treat the employee, so now you can land in trouble because now, quote unquote, those contractors you're treating as employees, but yet you're not paying the payroll taxes on them. You're not giving them sick leave, and that's going to land you in a heap of trouble with the law. So you've got to be careful that you treat them separately as 1099 employees from the regular W-2 employees. That way you're not in trouble under FLSA.
All right. So what was the deal with the strippers in this article? Where did that fit in the mix? You said that they're putting together like a plan or something to
come together. So hold on. I need to read this because I cannot stop laughing. So I'm gonna read this verbatim.
This is in the same article, Rick?
This is in the same article. Okay. So apparently, there is a national strip club chain called Deja Vu Services, which is weird. And that organization hired Stormy Daniels. And JC, you know who Stormy Daniels is?
I'm not really sure.
According to the article of the LA Times, she is the stripper who was paid off by President Trump's lawyer over an alleged sexual encounter.
So allegations, not fact.
Yeah, that's according to the LA Times.
Gotcha.
So as I keep reading, and I'm reading this verbatim, apparently, Stormy Daniels did an op-ed piece for the LA Times. So she said, sadly, independent contractor status for exotic dancers in California is now threatened. Daniels wrote in an LA Times op-ed piece. I'm going to stop right there.
So this article that we're referencing is from the LA Times, but then she's also a writer for the LA Times, putting op-ed pieces together.
The article we're referencing is from the LA Times,
but and a different
in the specific
writer.
Articles, yeah. It talks about Stormy Daniels, who apparently wrote an op-ed for the LA Times. Can we just stop and let that marinate for a second?
Yeah.
Because I think that in itself is the story over anything else. Stormy Daniels was given the opportunity to write an op-ed piece for the LA Times. I never thought I would live to see the day where I would actually read that somewhere. Because you've got so many other people. Look, I'm not knocking on Stormy Daniels, but I don't know if she's a writer, right? Apparently, from what I've read, she's a great dancer. And she's good at receiving money, allegedly, for dancing. But apparently she wrote an op-ed piece for the LA Times. So
did she get a good job review when she left the other place? Or?
I don't know.
All right.
Apparently not. So in this article, I'm going to keep reading because this is one part that really got to me.
Go ahead.
So, and I quote, "The clubs are punishing us for exercising our rights," said former Deja Vu stripper who goes by the stage name Domino Ray. She and several fellow workers have formed an advocacy group, the Soldiers of Pole, to help us unionize.
What are they called?
The Soldiers of Pole.
Mount up! Soldiers! Wow.
To help us unionize to protect the most vulnerable.
I wonder if they have a trademark on that or a logo. We should put them in touch with the HR lady down in Orlando. She's good with the trademarks and stuff. You know,
I'm having way too much fun with the story.
Gotcha. Yeah. Welcome back, by the way.
Oh, Lord. So apparently, Stormy is talking about how she is upset that with this new law in California that kind of converts contractors to employees, now strippers may have to provide lap dances to people that they are not comfortable with.
All right. So long story short,
because now they're employees.
Long story short, regardless of like what you're into, let it be the dancer thing, the carpenter thing, the Uber, the barber, the whatever. This all comes down to that line between the independent contractor at a certain dollar amount and then the employee, which is going to be paid less because there's that factor of benefits that come into play. And then everyone having to maintain a side hustle, as you heard about during like some of the government shutdowns and things like that, just to pay the bills. I mean, it seems to be that's part of the discussion where everything's rooting back to. Here's a question for you. If the independent contractor thing is such a big deal and employers are struggling so much with, like, having to figure out, is this an employee or independent contractor, and they don't want to bring the employees on board, why don't they just take that jump, that magic leap, to then turn to employment agencies? Why don't we have more of them then, more staffing companies and firms that put people in place to do some of these things that stand independently so they are still independent contractors at your facility, but then now you're turning to that third-party provider to help make that happen?
Yeah, but some organizations do that because there's...
Well, of course they do it now, but I mean, why not more of an uptick in that regard? Or it seems like there's more pressure to relax the standards so for the employers more opportunity to determine who's an independent employee contractor and who's an employee, you know, the blurred line.
But as a business owner, you have to take a step back and make a decision on how you want to run your business and how efficient are you going to be and what is fiscally responsible.
And then who's vested with you at the same time?
Well, that's the thing, right? Because then if you always hire a third-party contractor to perform the duties, sometimes that's expensive because they can range anywhere from a 30 to 60% increase in whatever the contract that is. Yeah, you don't pay for the taxes, you don't pay for payroll taxes, sick leave or anything, but depending how many people you hire, let's say 500, and for every salary of those 500, you got to pay 30% more than what you normally would. That doesn't become very fiscally responsible.
It's not even just dollars and cents at that point, though, too. When you're talking about like building an organization that buys into you, that buys into your philosophy and your growth and movement, and it's no slight in any stretch of the imagination to anyone that is an independent contractor. I know many of them that do it, especially in the IT and software development world, and they're pretty fantastic at what they do, don't get me wrong. But if you're trying to go for organizational change, and you're trying to build a brand and get people to buy into what you're doing, how vested is that independent contractor compared to an employee that's going to receive more benefits and maybe have more of an opportunity in ways that contractor's never going to have?
So that's just it. So they won't, right? Because if all you have is contractors, you're right. They're not going to have that vested interest in the brand. They're not going to really care about the bottom line because they're a contractor. Of course, we're generalizing.
You're also paying for a skill set that's very specific, right? So if now you want to implement a brand new tool, you're pigeonholed unless you go to buy those other services or you're going to pay for that contractor to learn a different tool set. And then maybe that tool set is completely out of the holster of something that they even offer or have available as a service, so then you're on to another firm.
So here's what I say to a business owner who's trying to figure out, let me go ahead and build a loyal employee base and not pay a lot of money to it. Stop being a cheap ass and invest in your employees.
Okay.
And hire employees, train them well, and train them not for how they can succeed now, but how are they going to succeed and what's going to be big in 5 or 10 years.
So then now we're back to talking specifically about the work ethic, the environment, the culture of trust,
there
and the power and empowerment that you put into the employees to make the things happen. I mean, man, that's you could bring on board as many full-time employees as you want to. If the workload is so much that they're constantly drowning and you offer overtime to throw money at the problem and it doesn't fix it, and then you go to buy these independent contractors to stopgap and they're going to be the Band-Aid, where's the root of the problem there? As a leader, you got to think about that. Maybe bring on board more employees. Maybe bring forth more of that positive tone and drive people to a better place personally.
But
we're
generalizing because that works well for some organizations and their culture, and it work and it doesn't for others, right?
You're right.
But if you're really focused on building a good employee base who believe in the bottom line and you have a culture to support it, then go ahead and bring those employees in and make them employees. Make them W-2 employees. Train them well. Make sure they have that vested interest in that bottom line. And if you have a specific need that needs to be done that your current employees cannot do right now, you have no time to train, then go ahead and get a contractor, bring them in, knock that out, and then send them on on their way. But be careful. Once you bring them in, you can't treat them like employees, because now you're going to get in trouble because you're not paying payroll taxes. But that should be an eye-opening event for you. If you are constantly doing that, then maybe you don't have the right training opportunity for your employees, for them to be ready to take on those tasks that you constantly have to bring in an outside help for.
Call lawyers. Call a lawyer. Who? Call a lawyer.
Yeah. Call David.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He paid you for that. Attorney. He did pay for it. Come on. Get out of here. How'd you take that cruise?
No, he didn't.
Stop
it. He didn't. Actually, he's speaking
at there's other lawyers out there.
But he's speaking at Disrupt HR Orlando here coming up next month. So that's what I'm bringing him
up. You guys
are
doing that again?
Yeah, brother.
When is that? What March 27th. Tell us a little bit about that. What is it? What's going on there?
So Disrupt HR 6.0 is happening in Orlando, same place as last time. It is on Wednesday, the 27th of March, 5:30 p.m. Tickets are almost sold out. So if you want to get your tickets, go to disrupthr.co/Orlando. And you'll be able to find the tickets there. Speakers are almost done. I think by the next episode, we should be able to share who they are and do a whole show on them. So, yeah, that is happening, sir.
Dude, you got to get like an abbreviation website or something for that. That's really, really long.
DisruptHR.co/Orlando.
I got confused at the CO. Holy smokes.
We don't own that. That's Disrupt HR. That's Jennifer McClure. She'll take care of that.
How's she doing, by the way? You talked to her lately?
I have not.
Well, you got to give her a call. She needs to come on the show still.
That's a good idea.
I don't think we ever actually officially offered her the opportunity.
I don't think we did. I don't think that never happened. That's why I said I think that's a good idea.
Well, she never reached out either, though, too. I'd love to have her on, man.
But there's another Disrupt HR coming up, isn't there?
There is going to be one. I just got word of this the other day. This is going to be over in Gainesville. Am I right?
That is correct.
So we got the word. We are going to be on the road. That's going to be over Disrupt HR 1.0, right? The very first inaugural one there for them.
Inaugural Disrupt HR in Gainesville, Florida, Gator Country. We're going to be there April
17th, 18th? So I do believe it's the 18th, Rick. Yeah.
Look it up real quick. I think it's that Thursday. That Thursday, yeah, April 17th. I believe it's a Thursday. 19th, 20th. Yeah, but it is. Actually, I'm going to be a speaker in that one. So HR Talk is going to be on the road. We're going to go ahead and do a live event just like we did in Disrupt HR Buffalo and Disrupt HR Orlando. So we're going to be there as well. It's the first on-the-road show for HR Talk and many more to come. But more information to come there on the next episode. So very excited. Looking forward to that. So you're flying down to Central Florida for that, right?
I am actually. Going to be with you. We're going to get some work done. And then we're going to be heading over to Melbourne, Florida, just in the timeline of things. And we're going to be attending the Space Coast HR Conference. And then on the heels of that, we're going to be heading up to Gainesville for that Disrupt HR. Let's talk about that Space Coast Conference. Rick, could you pull the dates and some of the information up real quick? I do have the rundown of the speakers here. Thankfully, really want to say a huge kudos and thank you going out to the team over at Space Coast HR Conference for calling upon us. Ricky is going to be one of the guest speakers of the day right there. I'm going to be your event MC, your conference MC. I might be sharing some of those duties with someone else, though, too. We'll see how the day shakes out. We're going to be recording live from the floor. But then partner from Ford Harrison, Andrew Hammond, he's going to be speaking that day as well. He represents management in all areas of employment and labor law. He's certified by the Florida Bar as a specialist in labor and employment law. He's going to be one of the guest speakers as well. There's also Chief Executive Officer of Talent Keepers, Chris Mulligan. He's a published author and national speaker on the subject of employee engagement and retention. He co-authored the book Talent Keepers, How to Engage and Retain Great People. That came out in 2017. He's on the docket. We also have Avish. I hope I say your name right here, and I will get it proper by that day. Avish Parashar. A motivational humorous innovation and change speaker. He is an experienced, innovative, energetic, and humorous speaker who uses 15 years of his experience performing, directing, and teaching improv comedy to deliver unique and refreshing presentations to a variety of audiences. I heard nothing but great things about him. Rick, you got something on that?
I love that title, a motivational humorist.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I like that. Is there a post nominal for that?
I'm not sure. Maybe we need to talk with him and get that built, right?
We need to talk with him, yeah.
And then our favorite HR lady, the HR lady, the trademarked HR lady, Wendy Sellers, with many, many post-nominals. She's going to be there. She's written that book, Suck It Up, Buttercup. She might be
stepping in
to help do some of the conference MC'n as the day goes by. We'll see. You know, she's fantastic. In 2015, HRO Magazine named her an HR superstar practitioner. And believe it or not, in her spare time, she does travel around the country experiencing life and adventures in her RV.
That's right.
Lots of stories from her. R. Michelle Tatum, partner over at Ford Harrison. Luis Wilson, partner at Ford Harrison. And we're going to be talking about them in the coming weeks, as well as maybe some other speakers that they have. We'll focus in a little bit more and talk more about that. But real quick, high level, Space Coast HR Conference, Melbourne, Florida. Ricky, dates, times, costs, what you got there?
So the Space Coast, I'm sorry you caught me off. I'm trying to get to the registration page, but that is happening on that 16th, I believe. Hold on. I'm looking for it right now. It is on April 17th at the Crown Plaza in Melbourne Oceanfront in Melbourne, Florida. That is on April 17th, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m.
It's a long day. It's going to be a long day.
It is going to be a long day. It's going to be a long day for you because you're going to be actually, we're going to be doing the HR Talk show from there. You're going to be emceeing the entire day.
Absolutely.
And I'll be presenting. So that definitely is a long day for us. But that means if on the 17th is this event, on the 18th is Gainesville. So got it. Okay. So registration is still open. So you can go on the spacecoasthrconference.com and hit register now, and you'll be able to find tickets there. So to attend and come see us and come see all the speakers that JC mentioned. It's going to be in for an amazing day. Everything is HRCI and SHRM certified for
credit.
That's
huge. That's huge.
Yes, it is.
You can't beat that. Attend the conference. Do what you got to do for that recertification process. Get the time in there, and then also enjoy a great day with us. You know, stop by the table, come say hi. We are going to be recording throughout the span of the day. I will be on the mic doing some MC event stuff. I do want to hear some of the speakers at the same time, but with the table set up, we will go live for a bit together. I kind of have a gut feeling for Space Coast. We're going to be in and out. We might record a bit and then maybe pop some interviews here and there. I'd like to get some one-on-ones with people as they're coming by. We'll see. We'll take it by ear. But I really would love to put together one full show or maybe even go live for a solid hour or something. We'll figure it out as the day goes.
Are we going to have the 13th best-sounding podcast t-shirts ready for that event?
You tell me, man.
Man.
I'm an independent contractor, so, you know, this is...
So you're paying for your stuff, I pay for mine, boom, done. Already done. So, oh, my God, I can't believe when I'm getting paid for this.
Hey, man, sincerely, though, you know, Disrupt HR Gainesville, Disrupt HR Orlando, Disrupt HR Buffalo, Space Coast HR... organizations that have turned to us to have us come out and do the show live, do the red carpet specials, do interviews on the spot, MC your events as well. Can't thank you enough to turning to us, the HR Talk Podcast, hrtalkpodcast.com, for your needs in that arena. And we're definitely more than happy to keep pushing forward with that and support you the best we can. We did put a tweet out this past week, and I want to take a moment to emphasize this. Our doors are always open. If there's something that you want talked about, if there's a topic you want covered, and you don't want to be named, but you do want that to come to the forefront, and you don't feel like putting it on social media, you don't want to publicly post anything, feel free to hop on Twitter or any of our relief paths. Any way that you could contact us, send us a direct message. We're going to leave your name out of it if you want. But
Absolutely.
We will address the topics at hand. So if you're having a hard time at work, you've got a complication, a problem, aside from just turning to Ricky as a consultant for advisement, if you want us to delve into that during a show, we are here for you.
That's
and
right.
We're more than happy to head down that path. We did hear back from a handful of people off the most recent Twitter post there that do have some feedback and concerns. We're going to keep that internal right now. And in the coming weeks, we are going to have some shows that address some of those topics that were brought up. And I can't thank those of you out there that are reaching out enough to kind of keep that drive going. Rick, we're at 59 minutes in. Talk to me, brother. Where are you at? What do you got?
No, I think that was it. I think we've got enough to cover this show. We talked about a lot, everything from employees, contractors, strippers, dog catchers, barbers, love contract.
Hey, say that one more time for me. Do it one more time.
No, what was it? What was it? Soldiers of Pole? Pole soldiers? I don't know. That was funny.
It was really funny. Soldiers of what?
Soldiers of Pole.
I added the echo at the right time on that one. Anyone listening back, please make sure you chop that out. You could definitely use that as your ringtone. Might enjoy it.
Well, all right, folks. So how to get a hold of us? Twitter at PodcastHR, or we are on Facebook and Instagram, HR Talk Podcast. You can email us at HRTalk@Biasco.com. You can call us at 407-501-8425 or text us. But seriously, tell us what you think about the show. Go on Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Tuned In, FM, all those places. Go ahead and give us a shout. Let us know. Rate us. We would really appreciate it.
The 13th best sounding podcast in the world. When we don't stutter.
T-shirts
we need the t-shirts. T-shirts coming soon. That aside, ladies and gentlemen, I'm JC on behalf of Ricky. All the way down in sunny Central Florida, we want to thank you for being back here once again this week. Drive safe. Have a good night.